This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. We're streaming online this afternoon at fanrunradio.com. We're on your free Fan Run app. We've got a podcast, a variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. I'm in the Stately Smith Manor studios today. I will be with you for the first 2 hours of the program, and then against my better judgment, I'm going to leave the program in the hands of Bear, in the hands of Jake, in the hands of Marcus Young. God help us. I just hope I have a job waiting for me tomorrow at 3 p.m. That's really the only goal.
I've got it under control, Russell.
When I leave here today, I hope you do, buddy. My only thought is, gee, I hope that I will still have this job tomorrow.
You will. I'm going to instill some much-needed discipline around this joint.
No, you're not.
I can't work in an office. I can't push paper and pencil. I can't work outdoors. I can't do construction. I can't lift heavy stuff. I've got a bad back. I'm not cut out for the government world, where there's all sorts of rules and regulations. I'd be fired within. This is all I can do, Bear. This is all I could do.
I know that, man. I'm not going to let you down.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to land the plane.
You blow this for me. You blow this for my wife and kids. They starve. They could die. Too much pressure on you. Just saying.
I don't feel a bit. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but this is kind of my only gig right now. No, we're not losing our jobs. Right. I promise you that.
All right. The future is in your hands, dude.
I got you.
What's the line from the Big Lebowski? I'm trying to remember. What does he say? She's in your hands. This is our concern, dude. She's in your hands. I can't remember. Maybe I need to go watch that again. It's been too long. When I can't quote the Big Lebowski right off the top of my head accurately, what's this world coming to?
Let me know, and I'll rewatch it. It's been more than a minute since I've seen it.
The SEC tournament is underway in Hoover. Looks like weather's going to be a factor pretty much all week. I mean, we're supposed to play tomorrow at 5:30.
That ain't happening.
I'm looking at the forecast. I mean, they've already, like, the game was late getting started. It did get started. Then they had to pause it again. Last I checked, it was Alabama leading Georgia 5-1. And I think they're in the fifth inning. And this is the first game that's still going on down there. So
if they can somehow make it through to Friday morning, it looks clear from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it should be good on the weekend. But, I mean, this –
we're playing some late night games.
Yeah, it's like four games a day for the first 3 days of the tournament.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They're working on it down there in Hoover.
Hoover.
Tennessee looking to take on the winner of Ole Miss and Vandy tomorrow afternoon/evening at the Hoover Met. So we got Tennessee baseball. We got SEC baseball tournament underway down there. We'll be breaking it down here this afternoon. First, though, big news today, and we talked about this yesterday, an opening in the track and field program And it was not an open position for Long Bear about 4 days, by my count, as Tennessee has hired a new track and field coach.
Get out of here, for real?
This afternoon. Yeah.
Get into our coaching search mode.
Yeah. You guys did your research, obviously, before we came on the show. I'm starting to wonder about this 3 p.m. hour, this 5 p.m. hour, third hour coming up here this afternoon. But, no, yeah, Tennessee hires today Duane Ross. He is the head coach at North Carolina A&T since 2012, where he has overseen the track and field and cross-country programs there. Earlier this season, his men earned the number one indoor national ranking in track and field. And like most of you, I'm sure you guys – Duane Ross, the first time you heard his name was when I said it 10 seconds ago. First time I heard his name was when I read this story 2 hours ago. And Danny White obviously had this in the works. We talked about yesterday how they were just letting Beth Alford Sullivan's contract expire a la Dave Serrano's back in the day. And clearly Danny White knew who he was going to hire weeks ago, probably. Knew this was his guy. And
he's a friendly-looking fella.
Yeah, moved quickly and got him. Duane Ross was a 1995 NCAA champion. I believe he ran the 110 hurdles at Clemson. He's a 2004 Olympian and 2021 co-national coach of the year. He will oversee UT's combined men's and women's track and field programs. He's agreed to a 5-year contract through June of 2027. Introduced to Tennessee's track and field team members today. And in addition to building out his track and field coaching staff, Ross will work closely with Danny White to aggressively canvass the worldwide track community for an elite distance coach to oversee Tennessee's cross-country program.
They've got to do that, man. They really do.
Yeah. Duane Ross, your new track and field coach at UT, is a native of Dallas, North Carolina, the sprawling metropolis of Dallas, North Carolina. NCAA champion hurdler, 7-time All-American at Clemson. How can you be a 7-time All-American?
Probably indoor and outdoor, I would imagine, if I had to guess. He's
so weird. They have indoor that hurdling. I've never really understood that.
That's something that it was just like, there's certain things that you know in life you'll never be able to do. Just like, don't even bother. Doing the high hurdles in track is one of those things. It's just like magic to me. It's kind of wizardry. How they do it. It's incredible.
He's got 25 student athletes, 12 women and 13 men, competing at this week's NCAA East Preliminary Outdoor Championships in Bloomington, Indiana. He will make his transition to Tennessee following the completion of North Carolina A&T's outdoor season. So he's doing the Jeremy Pruitt, going to finish my gig at the old school thing before he comes over.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it. And now that I've read, you know, what he's done, I have to admit, kind of fired up about Coach Ross.
You had a big problem with Jeremy Pruitt staying at his old job till the end of the season. Why is it not a problem for Duane Ross?
Because it's track.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. I will accept that answer. If you had tried to, like, logicify your answer and somehow dance around the facts to mold them to something. It's track. Yeah. I will accept that answer.
Who cares? Now, I'll tell you the thing that I'm reading. I'm sure the same thing that you're taking this from. The thing that jumps out at me, he took North Carolina AT&T to a third place finish in the – I mean, we're not talking like lower levels. The way this reads, the 2021 NCAA Outdoor Championships –
yeah, apparently they're really good.
Did you just say North Carolina AT&T?
I may have.
Throwing what's your heat point? Out of the gate.
It was a wacky pre-show here.
I mean,
it was funny.
Do we have normal pre-show routine at the Fan Run Studios?
Yeah, I mean, this was one for the ages, Russ. Like, went from extremes of happiness and joking around, making fun of Hickman and Jake, to just the depths of depression all in about 5 minutes.
Do I even want to know why?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. I didn't know, by the way, speaking of track and field, I did not know we had another, like, future sprinting superstar over there on campus. Are you aware of?
No, I wasn't.
Favor Ashe?
Okay, I'll do it.
Yay, track.
Is this a Lady Vol or men's?
Oh.
Well, I mean, I just don't know.
First of all, why does it matter?
It doesn't.
Second of all, he's a Nigerian.
What's his name?
Favor Ashe. It looks like Favor Ash, A-S-H-E, but apparently it's pronounced Ashe.
Favor Ashe?
Yeah, he ran a 10.04 in the 100-meter dash, breaking Justin Gatlin's Tennessee freshman record.
Whoa.
Can he return kicks?
Yeah, I mean, Jake, that was my immediate thought. I was like, oh, put some shoulder pads on him.
No.
He looks like more like Christian Coleman. You know, he's like not very tall and long, but he is built like a running back. Like, you look at him, you're like, dude, that's a put some pads on this guy.
Where's that kid's never played football? I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah, I don't think they have football in Nigeria.
Huh.
Got a really thick accent. He did WATE had a video piece on him yesterday that you can go and find on their website, but. So there's a piece for Dwayne Ross to work with over there. Is that enough track talk to start the show? Should we move on?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but I'm a big fan of the track team. So,
well, it's a big hire too. I mean, this is Danny White's probably his second biggest hire since he's been here. Of course, the Heupel thing, right? And Banner Dan starting to put his stamp on this thing, guys. You see where Saturday Down South tabulated winning percent?
Oh, yeah.
Winning percentage across all sports. So every sport that's played, right?
Yeah, that's why I gave him the name.
Through the 2021-2022 school year, which is ending as we speak. I think baseball is pretty much the last sport going, track and field. And Tennessee, and I mean, it's not close either. They have the highest winning percentage across all sports in the conference. 672, 67% winning percentage across all sports. The second place is Florida. They're at 59%. We'll round up to 60.
Yeah. If you take football out of it.
Then it's a landslide.
I mean, the athletic department, this is as healthy as it's ever been.
Probably since what, 2007?
No, I mean, I'm thinking like in my – yeah, maybe – yeah, my lifetime. I mean, time it was like this, football was – 70s football wasn't very good when Majors was rebuilding it, and we still had
– we're forgetting – I mean, the mid-90s were pretty good, guys, when we had – Fulmer winning SEC championships. You had Delmonico killing it. And the basketball team was very good when Jerry Green got here in 96, 97, whenever that was. So, I mean, there were a couple of years there where, you know, I don't know what the lesser sports were doing at that time, but there were a couple of years there where in the Big Three, they were really killing it. And by the way, Pat Summitt was at the top of her game.
Winning national titles.
We were also killing it in club sports back then, too. So, and I know we are right now because I follow all that stuff on Twitter, like the hockey team, the rugby team, some of that stuff. Yeah.
Dan walking around with his chest puffed out.
Dandy Dan the Banner Man. Incredible. If we get football up and rolling, Russ, look out.
Be the mecca of all college sports.
And I was thinking about this, man. I'm going to reserve judgment. Dwayne Ross on paper seems like a fine hire. I'm not going to pretend to have any clue what I'm talking about when it comes to that. And furthermore, Bear, like my track record is not good here. I was thinking about this. You and I were talking earlier while, and for some reason, like, and this is probably an indictment on our personal health, both of us, but I feel like 75% of our phone calls involve one of us going through a drive-thru somewhere. Have you noticed that? One of us is always going through the drive-thru. We're having a phone conversation. Yeah. It's like, hold on, dude, I'm about to order.
Well, yeah, because it's the one time where I think we have, you know, time to actually make a phone call. I don't know. So, I did hide the fact that recently on a call, I was in the Taco Bell drive-thru again. And I muted it.
See, every time I'm on the phone with you, you're always at Captain D's.
I don't eat Captain D's.
Or Long John Silver's.
No.
Captain D's.
That's not my bag. Wow. I don't like
Bear,
fish.
It's even worse than we thought. Anyway, today I'm talking to Bear, and I'm at the line, and I hope this is okay to admit. I went to Buddy's today, which I don't do a ton. Look, I didn't have time to go up to Rickard Rich. Like, Buddy's Barbecue, thoroughly average, I'll admit. Ooh. But, Bear, what did I try today? I asked you whether or not I should try it.
I said no.
I disregarded your advice. And what did I consume before we came on the air today?
The hot fudge cake shake. Which I can imagine that your blood sugar is probably somewhere north of 1,200 right now.
That sounds delicious.
Hot fudge cake milkshake at Buddy's Barbecue.
That just sounds so gross to me, dude.
It sounds delicious. What are you talking about?
Well,
I'll tell you, nothing sounds good to me right now. I'm in one of those modes.
I think you're both right. I think you're both right because my brother has been touting this. He's like, dude, you got to try this. It's really good. And I'm kind of like Bear. I'm like, I don't know, man. That just sounds like too much. And I'm sitting there today, and I'm looking at this thing. You know what? I'm going to try it. And I just don't eat big lunches to begin with. But I just figured I was going to try it today. And I wasn't even expecting to finish it. It was just one of those things, I'm going to try it. It was the most insanely good thing I've put in my mouth in at least 2 years.
I just can't get down with it, man.
It's incredible. You got to try it, Bear. You got to try the hot fudge cake shake, man. It was unbelievable. And it got me thinking today. I was thinking, you know, what are things that you thought were going to suck but turned out to be really awesome? And I can tie this into Tennessee athletics because I don't know. The line between genius and moron is sometimes a thin one. I will attempt to straddle it here. But I remember people never let me forget this either, Bear.
What's that?
When I was sitting, I remember I was sitting at my old house about 5 years ago, about this time. And Bahama John Curry was in the midst of a baseball coaching search. And one of the names that definitely was not on anybody's list was Tony Vitello, because it came out of the blue. They just announced it. It was one of the few times that they've ever been able to announce a coaching hire without the media knowing who it was going to be well beforehand, well before the official announcement. Tony Vitello was on nobody's radar. And I'm sitting at home, and UT announces it via tweet. And I just responded, because this is what Twitter is for, is, you know, you put a thought out there without thinking it through.
Okay.
And you remember what my tweet was, right? We talked about it with him last year. Do you remember the tweet?
I don't remember the wording of it, but I remember us talking with him about it.
Oh, it's real simple. Who the hell is Tony Vitello?
Oh, yeah.
So, I got thought. Listen, man, I didn't think Rick Barnes was going to be a very good hire. Like, when that first, I had to be talked into that. Nobody thought Josh Heupel was a good hire. I mean, like, honest, man, you have to go back and think about these things, right? These guys are popular now, but at the time the announcement was made, like, none of these were considered home run hires. Rick Barnes was a retread. Josh Heupel was just, oh, man, like Danny White couldn't get anybody to take the job. He had to beg the guy that he had already hired before to just to come with him because Tennessee was such a dumpster fire. Hell, Danny White himself was not universally. I mean, some people were on board with it from the beginning, but I
wanted
remember
the guy just, from UAB. I do remember
yeah, Mark
that.
Eager, like me personally, I was like, why are we hiring – like the guy from Duke's son, this guy who's like his brother's coach at Florida. Like, what are we doing here? That was my initial thought. And so far, all four of those guys, Vitello, Barnes, Heupel, and White. I mean, like so far, I'm not crowning any one of them. We're not hanging a banner for any one of them yet. But I mean, certainly Barnes and Vitello are killing it.
Yeah. My anxiety level's dropped. So I'm not, you know, just constantly flooding my body with cortisol from anxiety over our dumpster fire of an athletics program.
So I just went before you dismiss the hot fudge cake shake bear. Just remember your initial reaction to some of these hires. Things you thought might suck sometimes turn out to be pretty good. Sometimes they turn to be downright awesome.
I'm trying to think.
Don't strain yourself. We'll take a quick break. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Jake, Marcus has not chimed in yet. We made it through the first segment without talking soccer. That's a step in the right direction.
I'm keeping myself
Stay
under control.
With us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. We'll get your Rocky Top report coming up next. All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. And Duane Ross named head track and field coach at the University of Tennessee today. Just covered that in segment number one. I'm sure we'll circle back here eventually. Some football news today. I saw where Bet Online has released national college football win totals, and 7.5 appears to be the spot where it's kind of settling in for Tennessee. That's where Bet Online has it. What do you guys think? 7.5. I mean, pounding the over on that one.
Taking a sledgehammer to that one, bro.
I'm a little nervous about it because they're usually spot on. Yeah. It all hinges on our defense. If our defense can improve.
It would be disappointing if we did 7-5 2 years in a row, right? We got to take a little step forward.
Yeah, we should not lose to Pittsburgh. And I'm fairly certain we're going to be talking more about Pittsburgh coming up in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be 5-0 going into Alabama, if we're being honest.
The Florida game is – I mean, Russ, you believe it when you see it with them, right, every year?
I feel better about the LSU game than I do the Florida game.
We have lost to Florida in games where we had no business losing to Florida.
I'm well aware. I wasn't born yesterday.
So
you're right, though, Jake. I mean, we should be 5-0 going into that
we
game.
Should
and if
be,
we're 5-0, if we're 5-0, there's no way we finish with less than 8 wins, right?
No, and you will never meet anybody more obnoxious than me and Russell if we're at 5-0, because we're going back, Russ, aren't we? I'm sitting in here with
a little preview.
Bunch of millennials. I don't think they really get this.
Who doesn't know Hawaii 5-0? I mean, okay, yeah, Jake, but.
You got to respect the work of the Ventures.
I mean, that's.
Great sort of band.
Yeah, I mean, you're starting to win me over on seeing it from where you're. You know, I see what you're saying. But I keep going back to I've got some concerns about our defense. I don't feel like we made enough moves in the offseason to shore up our biggest flaw from last year, which was the middle of our defense was almost non-existent in the big games.
All right, let's circle back on this and place our bets at 7.5 for the summer and the coming season. Real quickly, wrapping up your Rocky Top report here, and we will have more on this later on in the week, but this is shaping up to be a huge recruiting weekend for Josh Heupel and the Volunteers as they're going to welcome in 4 5-star prospects, including Nico Iyama-Pajama and a host of other 4-stars and a couple of really highly touted 3-stars as well. This is the big recruiting weekend that they all do, right? We've been doing it since Botch was here, and this is where you can make a lot of – this is where they bring them in, and they play cornhole, and they cook out, and hey, it's such a family vibe and everything. But
and play the games and stuff.
I'm guessing if this is going to be particularly productive, the folks at Spire will figure in at some point as well. Not to denigrate our prestigious academic university, the institution that we all know and love here, but I mean, let's be we don't have to pretend anymore. I mean, that's the one good thing about this modern age NIL stuff is we can just put it all out there on the table, as Jimbo and Nick did last week.
Still are.
Did you guys happen to see somebody went back and looked at the printout of Jimbo's presser?
No.
I don't think Jimbo understood or understands the word parody.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it kind of left you wondering if, he got it. You have to read it, and it jumps out at you. Once somebody pointed it out to me, I was like, whoa, you're right. I don't think he does know what the word parody means.
I'd not see that. It would not surprise me, though. So your Rocky Top Report is brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. You can check out Bo online at BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Kregner knows real estate. He's been doing it for a long time here in East Tennessee, and he's seen some stuff the past year or two especially. So you're thinking about selling your home, you want to get top dollar, you want to get that top value for your home when you take it to market, you need to talk to Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Find that sweet spot so that you don't leave anything on the table. Call him today at 865-742-1035 to set up a free consultation. That's 742-1035. He's online at BoKnowsHouses.com. I want to get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here real quick, and then I do want to hear a Pittsburgh radio host had a total meltdown over who's the receiver? Addison?
Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison is the Biletnikoff Award winner who's transferring away from Pitt to USC. Uh-huh. Apparently, this kid showed up, his whole family showed up to move him out of his Pitt dorm. They were all decked out in USC gear.
Get the heck out of here.
You can't do that.
To go spend a couple of hours moving him out of the Pitt dorm.
I mean, that's where you get, your brothers, maybe a cousin or two, give them the key, and let them go move the stuff out. I mean that wound's really raw, but to just rub it in their face?
Oh, yeah, man.
This guy got big mad, too.
Yeah, the radio guy's not having it. We're going to play you some audio coming up here in just a second. Let's get TJ in here next. TJ, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, fellas? How you fine gentlemen doing today?
Hey, doing well. How are you, sir?
Hey, y'all are doing better than me. I jabbed a screwdriver in my hand today, but we're all good. Hey,
good.
That, TJ.
My family, we got a dilemma going on, and we want the drive to finally settle this.
Oh, God. Okay.
If you had to choose for the rest of your life for 3 meals a day, would you choose sushi? Or would you choose any kind of ice cream you want? It could be a cone, banana split, whatever flavor. Sushi or ice cream?
Ice cream.
So I'm going to be eating the same thing for all 3 meals for the rest of my life. I have to choose one.
Any kind of sushi you want to make it, any kind of ice cream. So in the morning you could have chocolate ice cream, in the afternoon you could have a banana split, but it has to be ice cream.
Can we factor in a milkshake with some protein?
You can have a milkshake, but it has to be in that family, an ice cream family or the sushi family.
Oh, ice cream. So I'm allergic to fish. That's easy.
You could put some vegetables and stuff in a milkshake or whatever and get your necessary vitamins and stuff that way. Because you can't live on ice cream. Like that's just, yeah, we all like ice cream, the taste better than sushi, but you can't live that way. You would be dead within maybe a year.
I don't think it'd take that long.
You want to find out? I'll be the experiment.
No, you don't want to do that.
Hey, a tub of ice cream from Walmart's only like $1.97. I can eat cheap.
The thing I love about Jake's generation is there's just no concept of time. Right? It's all just immediate gratification. Jake's like, oh, yeah, I could go for ice cream right now. Not even beginning to think about like how sick he would be of ice cream by day number two.
Right.
Oh, I'd be sick of sushi. Yeah,
I mean, guys, not to mention the fact that they've got no concept of thinking, how am I going to feel if I do this 20 years from now?
This is a terrible conundrum, TJ. I guess I'll just have to go with the sushi, even though I'm not a big fan. I mean, I prefer not to die at the end of the day.
Well, that's very true. Hey, football question for you real quick. I'll get off here. I hadn't talked to you in a while. I miss you guys. You know, it's football's getting here. You know, there's a good – I heard a good thing the other day. Somebody said it on ESPN radio. With this NIL stuff and almost like free agency in the offseason now, recruiting rankings aren't going to mean anything because you could have a great recruiting class full of freshmen and transfers, but let's say you recruited a freshman who was, I don't know, top 50, but he didn't get much playing time. Well, he's probably not going to be there next year because another school is going to come in and say, hey, we can give you $250,000 more than what this school is doing, and you'll get playing time. So recruiting rankings, I think you can just throw those out the door if we're going to keep going on with this free agency NIL stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're completely worthless, but they're certainly devalued. I mean, you make a good point, yeah, because a lot of those guys are going to leave. You're going to bring in a lot of guys that you don't sign. I mean, I just think the most valuable metric the past two or three years has been what 247 does with the talent composite, where they look at what your roster is. You know, what is your roster for that season? And they'll give you the recruiting rankings of all 85 scholarship players on your roster. And if you look at that over the past however many years they've done it, I think three or four years now, like it averages out. You know, the teams at the top are Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, and everybody else is trying to get into that group that they've been in. But you're right. I mean, we're going to have to find different ways to measure quality when it comes to roster construction, because there's just too much movement going on. I mean, you can't really, again, recruiting is still important. You want to sign as many good players as you can, but you just have to know that some of those guys are not going to be around.
Hey, what week do y'all have Florida?
They're what, our fourth game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Week four.
We got them week two, so hopefully we can beat them down for you and y'all will get them too. Hopefully Tennessee and Kentucky both beat Florida this year. Wouldn't that be something? I hope that happens.
That'd be great because I'm going to invest in MRI machines. GE.
What the hell does that mean? Where do you play them, TJ?
Let's see. Florida. It's at Florida week two.
What benefits Tennessee more for Kentucky to beat Florida and have them kind of questioning themselves, or would that make them mad? I want them to
crush them so that Florida's to get the most bang for our buck. We want Florida undefeated if we beat them. I want Florida undefeated until they see us. I'm not gonna lie. I want to see them smash Kentucky's face in. I hate Will Levis.
Hold up. You would rather root for Florida to beat Kentucky than
I didn't say that.
Kentucky beat Florida in football?
I didn't say that. But what I did say is I wouldn't mind seeing Florida stomp y'all's faces in.
Well,
because they're legitimate football power. You guys Pretenders. Total pretenders.
We've beaten them two out of the last 4 years.
You're still pretenders as far as college football. You brought your top 10, the best team that you ever fielded, in here and got beat by Jeremy Pruitt.
And we still got 10 wins that season. What are you talking about?
Big deal.
It's football, it happens.
I'm just saying, I want to see Kentucky get their face smashed in every time they go out. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I like you. You're one of my favorite callers.
TJ, anything to you, I'm pulling for you guys. I want to see Florida have just a horrible start to the Napier era. I want their fans to be questioning the hire three games in. Look, they played the Urban Meyer Classic. They're playing Utah should beat them in Gainesville in game one. Kentucky should beat them in Gainesville in game two. South Florida is not going to be a cakewalk. Tennessee should beat them. They should be 1-3 heading into a matchup against Eastern Washington. They of the red field out there. They should be 1-3 heading into that game. I would love to see Florida just have a terrible season. I want them to lose to Kentucky. I want them to lose to Mizzou, LSU, Georgia, A&M, South Carolina. I want them to lose to Vanderbilt. I want them to have a terrible season right now.
Yeah. I despise Florida more than any team. I got nothing to say. I never thought I'd hear a Tennessee fan say they'd want to see Florida win rather than Kentucky against each other. Hey,
I didn't say win, TJ.
Yeah, it's worse than that. It's
I didn't say
I
win.
Don't know what kind of
I don't care who wins it. I just want to see Florida smash your all's faces.
TJ, I don't know what to say. Have a great day, man. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200.
Was that online?
I just think you're being short-sighted. I mean, that doesn't benefit us in any way.
Beating Florida undefeated benefits us more than if Kentucky's already done it.
But Florida's not going to be any good anyway. And I don't think Kentucky's going to be much better. But don't you think that, I mean, Florida has been our nemesis for 30 years. They've dominated the series since the league split into divisions. And, you know, we still bear the mental scars from that. I think it's the best thing that could happen for Tennessee football is for them to lose their way and do what we did for the past 12, 15 years, however long it's been now. And that includes losing to Kentucky, which they've already done, like TJ said, twice in the past 4 years. So I don't think it's like some big shakeup. I mean, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you want to beat good teams, but I don't think that we're in the conversation where we're like looking at our opponents' records and everything like that. I mean, if we're talking about 7.5 being the over-under for wins this year, like I'm not schedule watching that much. I just want our rivals to be significantly weakened.
Okay. I just can't not take shots at Kentucky when TJ calls in. He brings out the worst.
You need to get over that. They should absolutely be 1-3 after we play them. And what will their fans be saying?
We made the wrong hire.
What will their fans be saying at 1-3? The first four games, I mean, they'll be feeling the way. I mean, even Botch and Dooley, I don't think started off 1-3. Did they?
What were we the year we had to go out to Oregon and Marcus?
I mean, that was Botch's first year. Mariotta. I feel like we started out 2-0. Didn't we beat the hell out of Western Kentucky or something like that?
They had like what? Like they had six turnovers or something insane. Like they turned the ball over
six times in six plays.
Yeah. But we got up on them. But was that the year we went out and got drilled by Oregon?
Yeah.
Huh.
See, that whole year, I don't even remember. Well, half of the year because didn't have access to television.
Okay. You didn't miss a whole lot that year.
I'm glad I was off the grid.
Was that the Pig Howard non-fumble?
Yeah, that was my first game once I got back to civilization, yes.
We need to get Pig on sometime. He follows me on Twitter.
Stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on Fan Run Radio. Take a quick time out. We're back with more right after this. Why is RG3 tweeting about Trey Lipscomb this afternoon?
RG3 is in Robert Griffin III, former Baylor star and Washington Commanders quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no idea. What's he tweeting?
19 minutes ago, the People's SEC Player of the Year at TLips03 at Vol Baseball is a picture of Lipscomb donning the fur coat and daddy hat.
Where's Lipscomb from? Any of you guys remember off the top of your head?
No.
I wonder if he's a Texas kid. I mean, they got to have some kind of connection. The one that still gets me is Christian Moore.
That was a big snub.
And Jarrell Ortega.
RG3 retweeted me here a while back. I said RG3 loves him some Tennessee baseball.
I got a message from a buddy of mine that Trey. He said RG3 is apparently a family friend of – he's a friend of Trey's dad.
Trey's from Frederick, Maryland, so maybe they know each other from –
from when his Washington days. He apparently RG3 is a friend of Trey's old man. So that's a connection. He's really good. Like, how many of these guys do you think are legit we could see? I mean, just honestly, take off the orange color glasses. Which guys do you see wouldn't surprise you to see him in the majors?
I don't know. It's so hard to project, and I mean, you look at Major League ball players. I mean, those guys are just – they're all freaks, man. They're all just physical freaks. And even a guy like Lipscomb, as good as his numbers are – like, I look at Beck. I mean, Beck, to me, looks bigger, just like
– he's a freak, physical athlete. Yeah,
these guys are going to – they're going to go to minor league ball, and then there's an adjustment, man. Once you get up to that double-A level, and all of a sudden it's just different, man. It's the competition is better than you don't – you don't see some of the stuff you see in – you remember, did you see that – I think it was Saturday in the Mississippi State game when they had those three guys just run into each other Bad News Bears style in the outfield? One guy, like, broke his jaw.
No, I did not see that.
Oh, you guys – like, it happened early in the game Saturday. They're just a routine pop-up right behind short, and the shortstop looked like he was going to catch it. But at the last minute, the right fielder came in and just ran him over. The ball falls. Tennessee gets a big inning going. The right fielder had to come out of the game. He hurt himself. Looked like he busted his jaw and knocked himself out or something, man. But stuff like that, not going to happen. Doesn't happen in pro ball. And I'm not saying Lipscomb benefited or anybody like that. I'm just saying I don't know. If you're asking me, like, who on this club is going to be major leaguer, I would say Tidwell and Burns, Dolander, maybe Beam. Like, the pitchers are the ones I go to first.
Well, yeah. I was going to preface it by saying outside of the pitchers, because, I mean, all those guys, if they can have even remotely close to – the numbers they've had in college, which I don't expect them to, as far as like their ERA goes, but you'll get a shot at it.
And we got three guys right now in the top 30. They're all in the.
I mean, outside of those guys, I would probably say Beck, maybe Gilbert, maybe Lipscomb.
Drew Gilbert,
the young
one
guys coming up. I mean, Blake Burke, I think he's got major leaguer written all over him. I think Christian Moore's got major league potential. But, I mean, history and math tells us that not all of those guys will make the big leagues.
Oh, no. That's
too hard.
I mean, to make MLB, the NBA, NFL, I mean, pretty much any sport. I mean, there's only just a handful of people that can make the cut and good enough physically and everything else to even be able to play at that level. It's a pretty exclusive club.
All right, let's hear from this Pittsburgh radio host.
He's
lambasting USC and Lincoln Riley. This guy, it gets heated. So Jordan Addison, the wide receiver from Pitt, transfers to USC, and Pitt Nation is hot about it. Listen to we know what radio station this guy's on?
No. Let's see if Marcus will look it up for us real quick.
I'll find it during the audio and give a proper attribution this afternoon here on The Drive. But here is an angry Pittsburgh radio host choosing violence on Lincoln Riley in USC.
And if I saw Lincoln Riley, I would pick him up over my head like Ultimate Warrior did to the model Rick Martel at the 1990 Survivor Series and slam his ass. Because I could probably beat up Lincoln Riley, one of the few people in major collegiate sports that I feel comfortable. If I saw the guy in a dark alley, I could beat the snot out of him. And he's such a big phony hypocrite. College football needs guardrails. NIL is out of control. Oh, Mr. Riley, Jordan Addison's agent on line one. Do you want to take the call? Hell yes, I do.
That's Andrew Filippone of 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh.
Love
wants
that guy's
to
motor.
Body slam Lincoln Riley. He thinks he could take Lincoln Riley.
I'd have to see this guy. I'd kind of lean towards Lincoln Riley because he works out with, you know, in a state-of-the-art weight room with a strength and conditioning coach
he's
and college kids.
Young guy, former jock, still in good physical condition. I don't know Andrew Filippone. I can't see him. I don't know what – I mean, all I have to go on is what I know from 20 years of working in radio, what the average – and granted, there are outliers – always, but the average sports radio host physique is not one that I would take in a fight against any college football coach of any age, of any level.
Can we get this guy on the week of the Pitt game?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I've only known two people, maybe three, in my time here at Fan Run that I would think would have any kind of shot at something like that.
At taking Lincoln Riley in a fight?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm taking any of our crew. No offense to our guys.
I mean, I'm including past members of our crew.
I mean, what is Lincoln Riley probably 6'1", maybe 6 foot, 6'1". 180 pounds, something like that.
Chance to whip him. I'd put 100. I'd put 100 on Collins.
I wouldn't try it, and I wouldn't try it if I was this Filippone guy. But man, they are hot. Yeah. So apparently, Addison's family showed up decked out in full USC apparel.
Good
to
Lord.
Move out of his Pitt dorm room.
That, I mean, to me, is beyond the pale, man. You can't you got to act like a
– You wear generic clothes when you go to do that.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, that was in – you can't tell me that didn't cross their minds. So disrespectful.
The bridges have been burned for Jordan Addison. I don't think he can go back even if he wanted to at this point.
No.
No, and it's – and, you know, I feel bad. I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, I feel bad for Narduzzi and that staff, man. And it's one of the uglier sides of this that T-Fair talked about early on with all this is from a coach's perspective, man, you really got to feel for those Pittsburgh coaches. I mean, they've got to replace their quarterback and their best receiver. So, but then it's a business decision for this kid. And I mean, if I were him, I'd much rather be catching balls from Caleb Wilson in Lincoln Riley offense than I would, you know, the guy who couldn't beat out anybody last year at USC.
Yeah, I would. And he's going to be making seven figures to do it, which is the key in all of this. But, you know, we talk about it, everything from an orange-colored perspective, obviously. And so far, the transfer portal for Tennessee football and basketball has by and large been pretty good. We haven't, like, what's the worst portal loss that we've had so far? Brandon Huntley Hatfield
Probably.
It would have been Tyler Barron if he had stayed in. And even that, I mean, it wouldn't have been just a devastating blow. It would have been a blow.
And it's nothing compared to the talent exodus at the end of the Pruitt regime.
Yeah, I kind of put an asterisk next to that. I guess that would be the worst. But, I mean, those guys weren't leaving because they were unhappy with playing time or something like that. You know, that was they're caught up in something. And but there will the point is, Bear, there will be a day when it hurts Tennessee. When somebody leaves and we're like, wait a minute, like things were going like, what are you doing? And that's where Pitt is today. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Jake's got your top four at four when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.